people of Britain. I speak to you today to tell you that we have no option but to act against the dangerous, power-crazed leader who believes he is above the law. He has received warning after warning, yet he continues to develop the means of mass destruction. What's now clear is that the only way to stop him is a massive ground attack. Yes, Roy Keane must be stopped. Imagine if he ever got hold of nuclear weapons, frightened forehead, cowering under the table bald spot, sweat-stained Newcastle scarf.
Ringers.
Hello there, and welcome to Film 2002 with me, Jonathan Watts. Filthy, crude, and offensive, and that's just my jacket. Arnold Schwarzenegger returns to our screens next month with his latest film. Arnie says he was attracted to the script because of its sensitive exploration of themes such as loss, betrayal, and separation. Here's a clip from blowing up lots and lots of bad guys with my big gun.
Hey, we're trapped. There's no way we can escape from here.
Don't worry, token black guy. You might not make it to the final cut, but I'll come out victorious.
I don't count on it, muscle-bound hero. You thought I was busy filming another 58 Lord of the Rings movies in New Zealand. But you were wrong. I am here, Ian McKellen, alias Dr. Death.
Oh no, you are so evil and calculating and cold in the way that only a classically trained British actor can be.
Don't be so sure about that.
Oh God, it's Alan Rickman. My sworn enemy at every audition.
This is even worse nightmare than the world being destroyed. I've double booked my token British bad guys.
This cardboard cutout baddie role has to be mine. Stephen Burkoff's washing his hair. Anthony Hopkins is off sick. Christopher Lee's on holidays. And Kenneth Branagh wasn't told where the auditions were being held. You can't thwart me, McKellen. I'll get your supervillain role.
Ah, no, you won't, Rickman. Not when there's some delicious eye-rolling to do. I'm far sneerier and haughtier than you.
But I'm far more clipped and menacing than you.
Oh, but I'm camper.
I'll get you, Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh no, they have killed each other. But I need a token British bad guy to save the world from. Looks like I'll have to push my emergency villain button.
Hello, I'm Brian Blessed!
My name is Greg Dyke. And I am Director General of the BBC. Calling your kid Romeo. Do you know what I think of that? I think that is bloody brilliant. Yes, because that suggests David Beckham knows the name of one character from a Shakespeare play. Which means he's the perfect bloke to host our new six-part guide at the British Theatre starting next month on BBC Two. Well, he's a damn sight more qualified than some people we've got hosting poncy art shows. Yes, I'm looking at you, Rolf Harris. And you, Llewellyn Bowen. Oi, Jentob, who's nicked my tambourine?
Tony, our summit here at Camp David this weekend has echoes of another historic meeting between two great men who both clearly influenced us.
Uh-huh, Churchill and Roosevelt.
Well, I was thinking Beavis and Butthead, but yeah. Them other two as well. You know, I love having you around, Tony, because you're always not thinking the same thing I'm not thinking. Tony, are you all right? You look peeved.
I'm here to speak my mind. We need to get a UN mandate for invading Iraq.
We don't need one. We're not invading Iraq. We're invading Tyrak. Look, here's a picture of it.
No. That's Tyrak. It's the shop that sells ties.
Tony, that's just what they want you to think. They are not as innocent as they look. You see, they're called Tyrak, but they also sell cufflinks and underpants. And are we meant to acceptify that it's just coincidence-ification-itude that they lurk in every airport and rail station? Tyrak is our target.
Mr. President, only a spineless toady would agree that was a good idea. So let's go get those cufflink-selling bastards. Aggressive black jacket, low-slung combat trousers, first strike underpants.
Yeah.
Hey, Peggy, have you heard about that Keith Duffy from Boyzone appearing in Coronation Street?
Yeah, there's going to be a few changes round here and all.
Oh? How do you mean?
Well, Martin Kemp from Spandau Ballet's gone, so we need a new pop star in the show. Who are you?
I'm Slim Shady. Yeah, I'm a bit shady.
Oh, and what exactly do you do, Mr. Shady?
I have a stall. It's quite small. I sell hockey masks and chainsaws, but that's about all.
Oh, well, you should fit right in.
Hang on a minute, Peggy. Didn't Martin Kemp have a psychotic mum?
Oh, yeah, she was played by Sheila Hancock, which means...
That's right. I, Dame Judi Dench, am Eminem's twisted mother. Give us a kiss, me old son.
Man, I don't mean to sound crass, but you guys are nothing but trailer trash.
So what about me? I'm famous for being an airhead British actress who only got work because of her tits. Who's going to replace me?
Hi, everyone. It's me, Liz Hurley. I'm a single mum, so I just know I'm going to fit right in. Ploughman's lunch and a Scotch Fabergé egg, please, Sharon.
Who are you?
I'm Russell Crowe. Father of an adopted Mexican refugee. Husband of a et cetera, blah, blah. You get the idea.
Not more famous actors. What are you doing here?
It's the Queen Vic, isn't it? I've come for a fight.
Don't worry, Sharon. I've got him.
Oh, beaten up by a girl. Again.
Oh, he's bleeding. Somebody get the doctor.
I am the doctor.
But what happened to Dr. Truman?
I am Dr. Truman. I've just regenerated into a new body. It's the sort of thing that happens in soaps.
You're watching BBC Four. Everybody needs a place to think. What a waste of licence payers' money. In an attempt to be more popular, we've decided to bring you entertainment instead of just yawning in program form. To wit, sit back and enjoy Brian Sewell's Bullseye.
Yes. One welcome star to Bullseye with me, Brian Sewell. Super smashing exquisite. Now, this evening, one is joined by a contestant of a distinct C2DE origin, who has travelled all the way from some ghastly place or other called Wolverhampton. Keeping score as our regular announcer is the voice of the darts, the literary novelist A.S. Byatt.
We must come to grief and regret. And I, for one, would rather regret the reality than its phantasm, knowledge than hope, the deed than the hesitation, true life and not mere sickly potentialities.
In other words...
180!
Yes. Now, remember, Prole, the monetary sum that I advanced to you earlier in respect of the total reckoning, that's safe. Super-smashing ethereal. Now, for the speed bit, who directed the 1915 Russian opus Battleship Potemkin?
Was it Jockey Wilson?
Go away quickly. Next on BBC Four, help, I'm an existentialist philosopher and writer. Get me out of here, please.
I'm Trevor MacDonald, and this is the News at 10. All of the flavour, none of the news. The pop world has been rocked by news that wrinkly rocker Brian Ferry has left his wife and is dating a much younger woman. She released this statement.
Hello, loves. It's Thora here. Oh, yes, it is true what they've been saying. That old codger Brian Ferry and I are romantically entwined. Of course. I know full well I'm little more than a glorious trophy to drape over his arm as Brian tries to recapture his lost youth. But it does have its rewards, as I discovered last night back in our hotel suite. You see, Brian's a real six times a night man. That toilet light was on and off till the early hours.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Are you known on Earth as the actor Nicholas Courtney?
Apparently.
Then it's you. You are the Brigadier.
So I'm told. It has been rumoured.
Brigadier, this is the Doctor. You must help me.
Well, certainly, of course I will. I mean, would I ever say no?
No, never. Never, Brigadier. You never did.
No, never did.
You were always one of my most faithful companions.
That's why I always, yes. Well, what can I do?
Well, Brigadier, I need the unit computer. You know, the large one with the spools that go round and round and then backwards?
Oh, I sold that.
You sold it?
Yes.
Oh, dear, then I must find another way. Brigadier, I need some information that's vital to the whole future of your species.
Good Lord.
Who won the 1998 World Cup? Was it France, Brazil, Germany, or Spyridon? You must be quick. Field Major Stiers onto win 10 quid. If he loses, he's going to go mental.
Spyridon, did you say?
Yes.
That rings a bell.
Spyridon won the 1998 World Cup?
Yes, because he's mentioned in my father's memoirs, funnily enough.
I hope you're right, Brigadier. I'll tell that to Field Major Stier.
Yes.
Maybe then he will win a tenner. If we're correct, Brigadier, will you come out and join us for a drink?
Yes, I would.
Wonderful.
Willingly.
Was I your favourite incarnation of myself?
Oh, without doubt.
Yes, Brigadier.
Without doubt. Yes.
What's that sound?
That sound is something going on outside my house, like a burglar alarm, I suppose.
No, that's not a burglar alarm, Brigadier.
No.
Omega is sending a jamming signal. Get out of there at once. Get to unit headquarters.
Yes, I will. I will leave at once, yes.
In fact, no, make your way straight to the TARDIS. Leave immediately and touch nothing.
All right. I'll do that.
It stopped.
Good, yes, it has.
I must have reversed the polarity of the neutron flow when I was there 7 minutes ago.
All impossible.
God bless you, Brigadier. Thank you.
That's a pleasure.
In half an hour on BBC One, there's a shock in store on EastEnders when Phil announces he's leaving Albert Square to start a new career as a Polisha Beacon. But first, it's the last in the series of My Worst Week.
On the show today, we'll be recalling a terrible week experienced by Robin Cook. Here's some archive footage.
I'm John Sargent. Westminster has been rocked tonight by news that Robin Cook has left his wife for a gorgeous young blonde. I'm here now on the steps of the Foreign Office with a somber, ashen-faced Foreign Secretary.
I'm let loose on a hot wash out, ladies.
Many of his advisers warned Cook of the damage this could do to his career. Most vocal amongst them, a young boy played by Eddie Murphy and a cartoon cat played by Marlon Brando.
Now listen to me, don't you realise you're going to end up on the political trap heap, you sex-mad garden gnome? Because Charlie says for a political career to thrive, a minister must remain in a monogamous relationship with his spouse, no matter how miserable he is. Tell him, Charlie.
I've gone mess around. I want to do it. I didn't do nothing.
There. Now you can't hardly argue with that, you bug-eyed ginger mutter.
Absolutely disagree on foreign policy. Yankee dribble.
What are you talking about, Charlie's wrong? You ain't never wrong, are you, Charlie?
Well, you're gonna start me. You're gonna walk it. You're gonna...
Maybe joints and rhymes?
John Alliance.
And she goes like a steam train, and she's got a sister.
Now, that's sick.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Now available without prescription. Following the hugely successful launch of the BBC's new black music digital station One Extra, Radio 4 is to have its own more youthy sister channel, 4 Extra.
Yeah, you're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Shaggy. John Humphreys is me in, and that's how his guests are treated. Interrupts them before they're even seated. I'm telling you.
No diggity, no doubt.
Hello and welcome to You and Yours with me, Liz Ms. Dynamite Barclay.
And me, John Grandmaster Flash Weight. Coming up later on the show, we compare the leading Rizzlers on the market. First, we've received numerous letters from our posse complaining that their yo bitches are faulty. They're often almost impossible to start on cold mornings.
So we'll be putting those concerns to the government's yo bitches ombudsman and asking whether enough is being done at Westminster to address these concerns.
Later we'll be joined in the studio by rap star Nelly, who'll not only be explaining why it's so hot in here,
but also why he wants to take off all our clothes. Oh dear, I'm very sorry, listeners. Well, at least we know there won't be any changes to the Archers, as they already spend the whole time desperately trying to sound trendy, don't they?
Oh, Eddie! I just knew something like this would go wrong!
Linda hasn't been round again complaining about Joe building his shed, has she?
No! Joe's double-booked himself tomorrow night. He's got a DJ at Pasha in Ibiza and at the Ministry of Sound within 3 hours of each other. Oh, Eddie, where am I going to find a private jet at this short notice?
Actually, where is Joe? I ain't seen him for days.
Here, anybody else want to go in my crack pipe? Oh, you talk about a well-wicked buzz. At this rate, me and my Ferris will be dancing till dawn. Everybody in the house go,
Tomorrow morning here on Channel 4, there's another chance to see 6 Feet Under, or as it's better known, Rise, our breakfast show. Time now, though, for a brand new series. It's Forever Summer with Nigella Lawson.
Hello, I'm Nigella Lawson, the reason Kleenex shareholders drive around in Rolls Royces. Me doing summer, the time of year when fruit is at its plumpest and ripest. Well, that would be far too easy. No, I'm going to make something else sound sexy for a change.
Right, so in a last-minute change to our schedules here on 4, Nigella Lawson brings us the delights of filling in her self-assessment tax return.
That's right. Now, the best way to start is by sitting down at a desk, allowing the leather chair beneath you to groan slightly as it takes the weight of your full, ripe, sensuous body. Then slowly, teasingly, slip off the thick, brown, outer Inland Revenue envelope, sneak a little peek at the contents, then allow them to spill playfully onto the tabletop beneath you. Next, take a pen firmly in one hand. I prefer grasping mine at the very end of the stem, but that very much depends, of course, on the length and thickness of the nib and how engorged it is with ink. And always take precautions to apply just the right amount of pressure to allow its fluid to ooze slowly out onto the waiting document. Now, take particular care to place a tick into every box that applies to you. For example, I'm going to stroke this box, 16A subsection B, very carefully now. Keep working my way down, stroking and stroking and stroking until the tax man is totally satisfied.
Simmer down. Welcome, one and all, to these How to Be an Extrovert classes with me, Brian Blessed. Now, if I fall over in the forest and no one's there to hear me, I'm still incredibly loud. I see we have a new recruit. So tell us who ye be, laddie, and why ye be here.
My name is Sven Goran Eriksson. And I am here because my players tell me I am too cold and undemonstrative.
Bah! Such words must anger you!
No. I can make nothing of mere words, for they are as tiny rabbit turds lobbed against the vast, unyielding castle ramparts of this life.
And I thought I talked balls. Ye be a mouse, laddie, not a man. Tell me, when was the last time you unleashed your hidden manhood?
Well, I saw Ulrika on Monday, Nancy on Tuesday, the Swedish ladies' hockey team on Wednesday.
No, 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 enough of this bafflement. Sven, you are timid. You must learn to fight. You must rid yourself of your inner monster.
But I already have dropped Martin Keown.
Good afternoon, Centre Parks, Marion speaking. How may I help you?
Yes, sir, I'd like to speak to Tony Blackburn, please.
I'm sorry, you've come through to Centre Park.
Yes, I know. He's there, isn't he? It's his old mate, Chris Tarrant. Tell him that his old mate Tarrant wants him. Okay, then. Go on, go and get Tony Blackburn.
I'm sorry, you've come through to Centre Park.
We all know that Tony Blackburn's not really in a jungle in the middle of the Australian outback. He's really in Centre Parks, isn't he? He's sat there in the middle of a load of old plastic trees with all the other Z-listers in Centre Parks in Nottingham. You're harbouring Tony Blackburn and you know it. Go and get Darren Dan. I'll tell him what a prat he is. And this little camp meant to be in the middle of the jungle. And it's really just round the back of your office, isn't it? With Anton Deck in the little sandpit over in the corner. Don't put Tony Blackburn on the line. I want to tell him that his comedy hair hat looks great on the telly. He's done a fine job keeping it on. OK, Marion, did you say your name was Marion?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's the wrong answer. You leave with nothing. I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Marion goes...
Story of my life.
Marion goes away with nothing this time on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but do what she did. Phone in on this number and you can be playing next time for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Goodbye, Marion.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome back to Watercolour Challenge with me, Hannah Gordon. Now double quilted for even extra comfort. For the past few hours, our two artists have been hard at work here painting York Cathedral. So first, let's take a look at Arthur's effort.
Well, I'm very pleased with it, Hannah.
Oh, it's lovely. Yes, there's nothing I enjoy more than seeing an artist capture the unique beauty and tranquility of this magnificent building.
Yes, thank you very much.
Which is why looking at this ham-fisted daubing you've done makes me want to puke my guts out.
What did you say, Hannah?
I thought it was your bladder that had packed up, Arthur, not your hearing. I said, it's crap. You see, just like Scylla and Blind Date, they've only agreed to recommission Watercolour Challenge, provided I get a bit nasty as well. So, from now on, Hannah's telling it like it is. Super. So, turning now to our second artist, let's have a look at what Barry's done, apart from that embarrassing puddle at his feet. My God, you've made more of a mess of that cathedral than the Luftwaffe managed to. No, there's only one thing to do, Barry, with something as lamentable as this offering, and that's kick over your easel and break your canvas over my knee. Smashing. Join me next week, when once again I'll be making a load of incontinent OAPs sit on the one spot for 5 hours without a toilet break, proving that I can be every bit as nasty as a Devon cream tea that a tramp has weed in. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you the following newsflash.
Hello, I'm whichever one of the Dimblebys it is that the BBC wheels out for sombre occasions. A Buckingham Palace spokesman has just announced the sad news that Prince Edward, the Earl of Wessex, is still alive. Reaction has been swift to this tragic development. Tony Blair was already paying tribute to someone else outside Number 10 when he was informed.
I just want to say that I'm deeply saddened by the non-death of Prince Edward. Dignified cheekbones, somber elbows, spotting the PR opportunity chin. I've always thought of him as the people's princess.
But some people are suggesting that there is more than meets the eye in this heart-wrenching story. Mohammed Al-Fayed.
I'm telling you, it's a fucking conspiracy. MI5, MI6, the CIA, the Goombay Dance Band, they're all in it. And think about Prince Philip, he's not dead either. That's no coincidence.
Buckingham Palace has announced that before he didn't die, Prince Edward produced his own 5-part television tribute to himself, which we won't be showing because, like all his other shows, it's crap.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard just the other day when a man came on the wireless saying that a group of celebrities being forced to live in the jungle were already finding the harsh conditions too much to cope with. These youngsters don't know they're born, sighed Thora. I could spend more than a few days away roughing it without cracking. I nodded sagely, and my mind was cast back to a warm July evening in 1948, when me, Peter Salis, and Mr. Pettiford from number 42 were on an expedition hacking our way through dense undergrowth in a place untouched by civilization, Essex. It was then we spotted something swinging from the trees above us. Seconds later, the hairy, barely human creature landed at our feet. It was Thora Heard. Mr. Pettiford averted his eyes. As to a white man, Thora was all but naked, as the top button of her cardi was undone. We were forced to face the awful truth. Thora had been raised by southerners. We followed Thora back to her dwelling, a treehouse high above the jungle floor, where using her primitive ingenuity, she'd used leaves, bamboo and gorilla spit to fashion her own Stanner stairlift. Once inside, it was clear just what savages had raised Thora when she tried to serve us pyramid tea bags and didn't use a cake stand for her macaroons. We realised immediately it was our Christian duty to rescue Thora and return her back to Yorkshire. It was clear what a job we had on our hands, as Thora had never seen a bath, but we showed her what they were used for by attaching wheels to one and pushing it down the side of a hill. Gradually, Thora adjusted to a civilised life, though occasionally some subtle signs of her terrible past would emerge. So I look across at Thora, swinging from the chandelier in her white stilettos, and I say to the producers of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, that they could do worse than see how Last of the Summer Wine would survive a week in Chigwell. But of course they won't, will they?
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neb Fountain, John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, Tony Roach, Simon Blackwell, John Culshaw and Richard Ward. The producer is Bill Dare.